Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hello and welcome back to the What We Said podcast. Happy Friday. It's the last Friday of February. And
someone was like, you guys have had this conversation about February five times. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. We're always dumb. Trying to figure out how to pronounce it.
I know.
Every year.
Well, because now it's the same thing with accessories. I used to say accessories. Mm-hmm. And then now every time I say, even though I say it right now, accessories, like I still, every time that word comes out of my mouth, I double, you know.
Double guess.
Oh no, not another one.
Here's the thing. I was just
do a double take.
I was just on Girls Camp on the podcast, and there were three different times in the podcast where I had to literally, I was like, where was I going with that? Or I'm like, so maybe the pregnancy brain thing is a real
thing.
Because I literally couldn't connect my two thoughts, or I would just completely forget what I was talking about. I'm like, moving on to something else, I guess. I literally couldn't think of so
according to TikTok doctors, pregnancy brain is real because your brain literally has to give some of its power to creating human life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to start focusing on the other things going on in the body, so you don't have all focus on other things. So I feel I'm like half my brain is actually gone. It's checked out.
Yeah,
doing something else.
Yeah,
it's gone fishing.
I feel that. We can't believe it's the end of the month already. Shortest month ever. Can't believe we're already doing another advice column.
I know.
We're ready to give you guys the best advice you've ever heard.
The best advice ever. Before we start, first of all, I'm sorry about my voice. I know it's extra sexy today, but I caught a cold, as one does in their third trimester. So sorry for the crassness.
I'm trying to keep my distance. I don't want to catch this thing.
I know.
I had a few thoughts written down
that
I'm going to reference now because I don't remember them at the moment. Oh, number one, let's talk about bear hibernation.
Oh, okay.
What do you think bears are doing when they're hibernating?
Oh, I know they're not sleeping, right?
They're not sleeping the whole time. Hibernation for bears. Leif and I were watching like a nature, whatever, animal show, and it showed a bear and then it was talking about like, oh, they've come out from hibernation. And I was like, how long do they hibernate for? And Leif was like, I think when they hibernate, they don't have to like eat. Hibernation for bears simply means they don't need to eat or drink and rarely urinate or defecate or not at all for literally 7 months.
Oh, it's a long time. I was thinking like 3 months, 3-4 months.
I'm not kidding. I'm like, wait, did everyone know that but me? Like literally bears don't have to eat for 7 months?
I think most of us thought, I mean, the only reason I know this is because of TikTok a while ago. They're like, did you guys know when like animals hibernate, they're not sleeping? That's the only reason I know it's because they're not sleeping. But, you know, I figure they sleep and they go into a coma for like 4 months. That's what I used to think.
Yeah, they're just in a trench.
And they don't
somewhere.
Have to eat because it's like, oh, they have to eat before hibernation, you know?
So they just are like storing up fat and then they can literally go 7 months. It says like 4 to 7 months, but there was one that was reported like 7.5 or even longer months of not eating. I'm like, okay, I don't know why I'm shook by that information.
Or defecate?
Yeah, because they're not eating.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That would be nice. You just take a break from surviving, from living.
Yeah, for literally 8 months, like more, sometimes more than half a year.
That's amazing. Good for them.
Anyway,
good for bears.
Wanted to touch on that. Thought that was an interesting fact we should all know.
Yeah. What are your other thoughts?
Oh, really the only other thought, I didn't want to like get into all this because again, it won't be like super current, but I was just thinking about the fact that like The Bachelor is truly the most savage show. I think it is the most savage out of any of the shows. Mm-hmm. I really do. Like, even though, I don't know, on Love Island, you can like steal someone. I don't know. But The Bachelor, I'm like,
cutthroat.
This would give you psychological damage for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. If you were a contestant on the show, I'm not kidding. It would take years of therapy to undo what has been done to you, especially if you made it really far. And then, or if you're one of the top two people and you literally think you are going to get engaged.
No, the runner up is the worst. You go in, you're smiling, you have like your vows written for them. And they say, you're about to like get down your knee if you're a boy or whatever. They're like, stop. And you're like, oh, I bet your heart just drops into your literal butt.
It's so sad. Like, I was even just thinking already at the stage The Bachelor's at, and we're not even at final like top four or anything. There's still like a lot of girls left. Yeah. And I'm like, that would be so devastating to really genuinely be like, I have really strong feelings for
dating
you.
Dating him.
Essentially, you feel like he's your boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like, you know, when they go on an awesome date with him, they go on this one-on-one and they like tell him they're falling for him and they're like, the chemistry's there. And then literally the next day, it's like a different girl's going on a date with him. And you're like, that's my boyfriend. Like, it would be such a trip. And you're also friends with them. And you're trying to be like a girl's girl. But you're also like,
they get a date. You're like cheering for them. Yeah. But you're like, that's my boyfriend.
And then to top it all off, I wanted to say, even though I think this season of The Bachelor is a lot better, like I'm actually really invested in it. I like watching it every week. They have got to show us more substance and conversation. Yeah. They have got to.
I agree. I'm sick of hearing the same thing over and over again. Take a shot every time I say TikTok in this episode so far, but I did see a girl just make a TikTok about how there's like four phrases that they say, and that's it. They'll be like, I think I'm falling for you. I'm excited to see where this could go. But then where it goes is like, okay, here's my family trauma or something horrible that happened to me. And then it's us talking about our like what we could be or our connection or something. It's never like actually
conversation. There's never a full picture. Yeah. There's never a full picture of like, even sometimes when they'll show like little bloopers or something, I'm like, oh, that's giving me more insight into their relationship and their dynamic than what you showed me. You showed me him saying, I really could picture her as my wife.
Yes.
Her dumping her trauma on him and then them making out and being like, I'm excited to see, like you said,
our connection growing.
It's like, show me more of their genuine conversations. That's why I think,
or them being playful or something.
Yeah, like that's why on Love Island you can actually see a lot more of the dynamic, so you really do like get a sense of like, oh, I think these two could really make it work. Whereas I feel like it's really hard to gauge who's gonna be the one on The Bachelor, or even just the dynamics they have, because they're not showing any conversations that are important, really.
No. And sometimes it takes you by surprise when he's talking to a certain girl and he's like, I'm just so drawn to you. It's like, I've never seen you guys speak or look in her direction.
No.
What are you speaking? What are you talking about? Was there something we're missing?
Just a note to, you know, if there's any Bachelor writers or producers that happen to be Valley Girls, maybe just show us some more.
Give us a little more
insight and context, because I think it would make the show a lot better.
Yeah. Even Daisy, his conversation with Daisy where they're talking about baby names.
Mm-hmm.
A little more of that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that
yeah,
shows
exactly.
Like, oh, they have like this playful whatever. Maybe they just don't talk about that stuff. Like, I wonder if because you only have 10. Also, I'm wondering how much time they have
on that date with them.
Yeah, like, or if they're on a group date, you know how they have the little after party where they all get time with him. I wonder how much time they actually have speaking to him. You know what I mean? Like,
True.
Is it 10 minutes? Because the girls will be freaking out.
Is like, I haven't got time with him.
Yeah. How long are you there for? Is it like an hour and you have 5 minutes to talk to him? Or are you talking to him for like
30
minutes? Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point. I wonder how much time they do have. I also wonder how much time they have when they're on a date with him. Like when they're on those group dates, is it like 2 hours for the activity and then they separate and like get ready and then it's like 2 hours for dinner? Or is it like shorter, longer, all day? Like, because
let us know.
Yeah. I would really like to know that. That would be context that would be necessary as well.
Because if they have so much time with him, yes, show us more. But maybe that's genuinely all they say. Maybe they have 10 minutes with him and they sit down and they're like,
I do not
believe that. Hey, we have a connection. Sometimes even, I watched like the first episode of Love is Blind, the new season. And their conversations are kind of similar too. Like they'll show a little more, you know, fun at the beginning. But at a certain point, and I wonder, maybe I just forget that's how it is when you're dating. Like all they talk about is liking each other. But they don't talk about like other things. You know what I mean? Like yeah. They'll be like,
it's like, how do you
I just
want
to hug you. Oh, like, but like just talking about things. I'm like,
it's like, how did we get to point A to point B?
Yeah.
Like, how do you know you like him? You know what I mean? What are the conversations been?
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll still be tuning in.
Same. Did you guys know Easter is happening early this year? We were just saying how we didn't know it was on March 31st. Usually you think the Easter Bunny comes in April, but this year, Sunday, March 31st is Easter. So Macy's has you covered, as they always do. Thank you to Macy's for sponsoring this episode. So last year, I got a lot of stuff for Easter from Macy's. I remember filling up most of Case's Easter basket with some toys that they have. I got him some like little bouncy soft balls, like basketball, soccer ball. There was like a little cute little stuffed bunny I got from there. They have books. They also have like Toys R Us Easter basket goodies. So they have plenty for the whole fam. They also have beautiful outfits as well for your Easter situation.
I feel like Easter is one of those holidays that really creeps up and it just happens. And I'm like, oh, I've prepped nothing. You know, haven't done any decorating. And I think even if you don't have kids, sometimes it's fun. Even if you have just want to get an Easter little Easter basket for yourself, you know, for some self-love or for your spouse, like it's still fun to just celebrate those little holiday moments. So whether you need stuff to fill up the Easter basket or like Chelsea mentioned, just want like a cute outfit to wear to brunch or to church or whatever your Easter plans are, they've got you covered. They have lots of cute spring-ish outfits for everyone involved. Also accessories, shoes, makeup, fragrance, anything you need. Macy's got you covered.
I also got some serveware for like an Easter brunch last time. They have the cutest like spring themed like little egg holders or little just brunch, different brunch serveware that have like florals on them. They have so many cute things.
So you can find it all in store and online at Macy's.com.
Something that I've taken away from our little 75 Hard Valley Girl Edition challenge has been how just a small little action can make a big difference in your life. And, you know, even if it's just waking up and doing a little bit of meditation or journaling or anything like that, something that just takes a few minutes a day can have lasting effects, especially if you are consistent with it. And that leads us into today's sponsor, which is Seed. So Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just two little capsules a day. Their packaging is also beautiful. I might add, if you've probably seen them on social media, it's green and it's gorgeous. It's really easy to just pop two in the morning, you know, on your way to work with some water or with your breakfast. And like I said, it can make a very big difference in how you're feeling with your digestion, regularity, your skin. We've learned how important your gut health is just to pretty much your entire body and functionality. So having a probiotic that you trust and that is scientifically backed is very, very important.
Yes, it is backed by science, lots of science. So DS01 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. With new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation program make DS01 a product that you know you can trust. Also, probiotics and prebiotics work best when used consistently, like other routine health habits, so they have a subscription service that easily builds DS01 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/WWS and use code 25WWS to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/WWS, code 25WWS.
There's been some good TV shows lately. I've been watching RuPaul's Drag Race, the new season. It's really good. Traitors. Have you watched Traitors?
Mm-mm.
On Peacock? I watched the first season a while, I think on my first trimester, it went through the trenches with me, but it's super good. I think I maybe talked about it on the podcast, but they have a new season, Pilot Pete's, on it.
Oh, that's right. I did see something about that.
And I'll give you a hint of someone else who... Wait, did I already tell you? I'll give you one hint of someone else who's on it that you're going to be surprised.
I think you did tell me, but I can't remember who it is right now. Give me a hint.
Let's go.
Fergie. Yeah. You did tell me that. No, that's he's shocking. On it. Hold on. Him, I think they're still together. Him and that girl, Taylor, that he like went home with. I saw recently, it actually was probably a month or two ago. I need to double check. They were like on live together.
What?
Still dating. I was shocked. Can't remember
her.
Taylor.
I'm drawing a blank.
I'll have to show you a photo of them. I was literally like, go wait, I cannot believe that like they lasted.
Because everyone
I
thought was kind of like, eh.
Everyone's like, that's fake. Like, you guys are them. They're still together.
Oh, what? I forgot.
From Love Island.
Slay. Love them.
Like, okay, we love to see
it. I remember
it.
Her. She was like very well adjusted. I don't know. She's very grounded. I liked her.
Yeah. They were actually like.
Made sense.
Kind of made sense together. And they were on live, like on my TikTok. I was just scrolling and it was them. And I was like, I'm shocked they're like still dating.
Yeah.
And they were actually like being very funny together. I was like, huh.
Cute.
Maybe it'll work.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. Yeah, so they lasted longer than any of the other ones. Yeah. Like all the other people broke up.
Oh my gosh.
I was shook.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, on Trader, they have like a bunch of people like that.
Yeah.
He's the first one I've ever seen from Love Island, but there's someone from Bling Empire. Did you ever watch that show on Netflix? Kevin. He's funny. A lot of people from Survivor. Or like Big Brother will be on there. It's really good.
Oh, I just want another season of Survivor.
Isn't it coming soon?
My favorite.
Like a month or two?
I think it's coming soon. Yeah. I think it actually is maybe.
You guys would.
But I gotta binge. I cannot watch it weekly. I've got to have like a few episodes at a time.
That's how I feel about Traitors. It's so hard. Mm. It's because it's come out weekly. But I feel like you and Leif would like it. It's really good. It's like Mafia, pretty much.
Yeah.
Live. And they live in this beautiful mansion I almost said Scottsdale.
Scotland.
Scotland.
Slay. Need to watch.
Really good. And yeah, Vanderpump Rules is on. Have you been watching that?
I haven't really been in my TV era because I'm finally a
living person,
living, breathing human being who can actually do things. And I feel like I had been watching so much TV. And now, like, if I am able to, I don't want to be sitting down because that's what I've been doing for the past 4 months.
It's true. I will say the positive thing, because this is how I watch, is like the positive thing about things coming out weekly. Is I have like a show a night. So it's like Monday night's The Bachelor, Tuesday night's Vanderpump Rules, Thursday night's Traitors, Friday night is RuPaul. So every night I have something to watch where it's like I have an episode and I'm good to go.
Yeah, that is kind of nice. I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should start watching Traitors.
It's good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm sure I'd like it.
Pilot Pete actually slays in it, I'm not going
to
lie.
Really? I was going to say, I don't want to watch him on my TV, to be honest with you.
No,
I don't want to watch this. I'm done.
He has a redemption arc.
Really?
Well, I mean, he just is good. He's good at it. And he's like, he's not in a dating scenario. So
right, true,
you're seeing
I guess.
A different side to him where it's like.
Just like a normal guy not trying to date.
And he's actually pretty
his
smart.
His season of The Bachelor was one of the worst on the planet.
Or was it the best because of it?
Yeah, it was kind of.
He had
of,
Victoria.
True. It was actually very entertaining, but just like the actual.
Yeah.
Who won? Because Kelly didn't win. He like sent her home. She was like fourth. And then they ended up dating for a while after. Not Maddie Pruitt.
Hannah won. He proposed to her. And then he was like, wait, no. Kind of tried to go back to Maddie. It was this whole thing.
That's why I lost faith in him. Because he proposed to one girl. Then was like, never mind. Went back to the second, you know, the runner up. And first of all, so all of them took him back, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
And then dropped her and went to like the fourth girl, Kelly. And they actually dated for like a year or something. But then they broke up.
I liked
up
Kelly
too.
A lot.
Yeah, I liked her a lot too. She seemed cool.
From this show, I could see why girls would take him back. Not like he's the sexiest man alive. No, but it just shows you more than I think you have a connection. Say it again. Like it shows you more than that, where it's like, oh, he's actually a with it, smart, like normal, down to earth guy.
You guys. If you don't know what we're talking about, Google or look it up somewhere.
I think it was Maddie when she said she loved him.
It's him saying basically her saying she's in love with them or like I'm falling for you or something like that. And then he goes something about say it again and sticks his tongue out. And it's the worst thing. If someone did that to me, I would immediately take back the words I had just said.
I can't imagine watching yourself kiss on television. No. I can't imagine yourself.
To be fair, that's.
Watching yourself flirt with someone on television. Especially when you're, I keep thinking about this with Love Island. They're so young. A lot of them, they're like 22 or 23 when they first go on. All Stars, they're a little older, I feel like. But a lot of seasons, it's like, I'm 21, I'm 22, I'm 23. Imagine you at 21.
Flirting with a guy on national television, yeah, and kissing them. Oh,
oh, and you're so like not secure in yourself. So you just do cringy things.
Oh,
and you
no.
say desperate things or like, yes. just do things that are stupid.
It's so true. And then everyone's judging you so harshly.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Watching yourself. Oh, I can't. It's a good thing Love Island comes out while they're in the villa. I doubt they ever go back and watch.
Yeah.
Bachelor, it's like you're watching your, that was months ago, and you watch every week with everyone else. You're sitting on your couch cringing.
That would be really a weird experience to be on any reality TV show, to not really know what's been said, like in other interviews, mm-hmm. in other places.
Confessionals.
And, yeah, and stuff. And then you watch it back and you're like,
yeah.
You see things that people said about you or just about situations that you're like, I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah.
That would be so.
More context.
Bizarre. Anyway. Anything else? Should we get into this advice?
Okay, here we go. I'll go first. I just broke off my relationship of 3 years. I'm graduating college this year and he just dropped out for the second time. He is so sweet and cared for me so much, but I freaked out that he doesn't really know where he is going in life when I do. I'm worried I should have stayed because he has so many great qualities and values that are hard to find in guys these days. Unfortunately, a stable idea of his future was not one of them.
How many years? 3?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you probably broke up with him for a reason. Unless you're having like serious, serious doubts about breaking up with him.
And regrets.
Yeah, and maybe you acted like impulsively. But if this is something you've been thinking about for a while, it's really bothering you, you know.
I mean, I think that that's a valid reason to break up yeah. with someone, honestly. It really depends on what you value in life, but that could extend to a lot of different areas.
Yeah,
like him
true.
Not having a certain view of his future could also make him uncertain in other ways that make you feel uncomfortable, and maybe yeah. you want something more stable, and
yeah,
he's not it.
Exactly.
I agree. I think you broke up with him for a reason. If you are having really serious
yeah.
regrets, then maybe that's something to consider or talk to him about. But
like, if you go on, I think you should go on a bunch more dates and
with
start,
other people.
Yeah, and start dating other people. And I feel like it'll be pretty clear to you. Like, if you're going on some dates, maybe you even start dating someone else. And it's like, okay, I was thinking the grass was greener, but maybe I was just like having some whatever. Then you'll know. Or maybe you'll start dating other people and be like, oh, no, I was right in breaking up with him. And there's someone else for me.
Better, yeah, agree.
Who has everything I want. Plus, you know.
You know, you can't. I like the quote. I don't even know if this is the quote. Something about like you can't miss what's meant for you. I feel mm-hmm. like if you guys are meant to be together and if you both love each other and you know, he goes off and dates some people, you date some people and you're just like, no one's hitting. No one
yeah.
gets me like you, you know, then you'll find your way back to each other. And I feel like nothing will be in the way of that.
Exactly. I agree.
Okay. Me and my boyfriend are high school sweethearts. He wants to get married in college and I want to wait until after college. What should I do? We both have degrees in the medical field and we go to college 30 minutes away. I think waiting would be more wise, but I also can't wait to marry him. When will I feel old enough to marry him? I feel like a child. Help. Wait, so how old are they?
They're in college. They haven't graduated yet?
No.
Probably like 22, 23.
Okay.
And they're in medical school. I mean, if you're waiting for like a time you're less busy, if you're in medical school, I mean, I don't foresee it getting... I'm not saying you have to get married right now, but I don't see it getting less busy
mm-hmm.
for another. If I know anything about medical school, which I don't know much, but if you're going to be, you know, residency or whatever, I feel like that takes a long time, like years. So if you're waiting for that, maybe there's really never a good time. But if you're just waiting to get a little bit older, I see nothing wrong with that.
Me neither.
You don't have to, you can compromise
yeah.
in the middle. If you want to wait 4 years, he wants to wait one. Maybe you wait 3 years.
Maybe wait four, just like you wanted. No, I feel like there's, as all people say, when they get a little bit older, there's no rush. Like, I just feel like a lot of times when you're younger, you feel rushed to do things. And as you get older, you realize that there was no need to be rushed
mm-hmm.
in like any regard, literally with anything, like with your career or with who you want to be with, mm-hmm. or with having kids up to a certain age, then maybe you gotta get going. I don't know. But I feel like a lot of times, especially if you know that you guys want to get married, like, then I don't see really a problem with doing it sooner or later. It's really just a preference thing.
I was going to say, you could kind of just wait until it makes your life easier and it's not super difficult, because maybe in college it's harder logistically. You know, like, to get married, plan the wedding. Maybe in a couple years, it'll just be easier, make more sense. You guys can live, you know, together. Flow maybe you already live together, but I'm saying, like, maybe you guys could, whatever you want to do, you know, maybe it's just easier later.
Yeah.
So I agree. Don't force it, but also don't resist it. You know, just go with the flow.
I agree.
Okay. How do you block out the noise when making parenting decisions or life decisions in general? I don't know. I feel it is so hard to let go and just accept judgment from whoever is going to dish it out. Trying to learn to go with my gut, but it's a struggle. I think once you learn to make your own life decisions, I mean, this is how it was for me. It's like, as soon as I got confident making my own life decisions and being like, I'm my own person, I can do what I want, I don't care what anyone says, I became a parent. And then it was like a whole new struggle of like, okay, I now have this half of me that is almost like mama bear, protective, who cares what anyone else thinks. It's like all about protecting my child. But the other hand is, for me at least, the noise sometimes isn't necessarily like, oh, I care what they think about me. It's like, am I making the right decision? Mm-hmm. Like, am I doing the right thing for my child? It's no longer, okay, I'll suffer the consequences. It's like, now if I make the wrong decision, someone else will be suffering the consequences. So I think it just takes time. I know it's like an annoying answer, but I feel like, I don't know if you're a new parent or you've been a parent for a while, but I feel like it just takes time to kind of get in your flow and get confidence. Because if you're new to it, it's going to inevitably be like a little, at least it was for me, like some specific decisions. You're like, oh, I need guidance. Like, I need help. Then you start listening to everybody. And then it does turn into noise where it's like, oh, I'm realizing everybody has a completely different opinion. So I'm back to myself. I'm back to like my own intuition and I just have to listen to myself.
Yeah. I have no advice. Yeah. I'm not a parent yet, but I don't know. She literally just said like how to block out the noise.
Yeah.
Just stop listening to people. I don't know how else to like be. That seems
cut just, contact.
Yeah. I'm like, it cut everyone out of your life. No, I just feel like also don't ask advice from people who you don't want it from.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that sounds rude, but I feel like if certain people don't parent like the way you would parent, it's like, don't ask mm-hmm. for their advice ever, because you're probably not going to like it or it's going to be stressful to you.
Yeah.
So maybe you have everyone in your life. I feel like for me, at least, it's like I look up to them in different ways. Like, there are certain people who I would like, you know, definitely go to, even just like my mom. Like, I would trust personally, I would trust my mom with like certain parenting things, because mm-hmm. obviously she raised me and she raised my brothers and I love how she raised us. So like, there are certain things I would go to her with. You know, people write in and will say the opposite. They're like, my mom always, you know, so it's just like, go to who you trust for guidance and who's like, you feel like has a non-judgmental vibe, and then literally block everyone else out when it comes to like advice. Like, don't ask for advice. Just do your thing. I don't know.
Yeah. And just work on your own confidence, because the more confident you are in your parenting, the less it will affect you. I feel like at the beginning sometimes, or at different times, maybe you can feel not confident about the way you're parenting, because maybe you're, again, you're new at
it,
or there's a change going on, whatever. And it'll take time to like gain confidence in it, and then you won't care.
I feel like one of the most exciting parts about parenting is that you get to do it your own way. Like, that's what I'm most excited for, literally, about being a parent, which I guess is, you know, I could very well have moments where I'm like, I don't know what to do in this scenario. Of course, like, I'm not saying I know what to do, but I think like, it's, if you kind of frame it like, okay, I am the parent to these kids for a reason, and like, I'm excited to do that my own way. I don't really need to like constantly seek things outside of myself. This is how I feel, at least, like, to figure out what to do, just kind of follow my intuition, and again, get advice from people who I trust.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you get to do it your own way. That's the cool part.
Exactly. And there are so many different people who do parenting. There's no one who parents the same as you, and there never will be. And it is nice. It's like you were saying, there are even parents that I would go to for certain aspects, but not other aspects of parenting. It's like, oh, how do you feed your kid? Or how do you get them down for a nap or whatever? I would trust them. In other aspects, probably wouldn't trust them because I don't
align with what they do. Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like you'll do it. Just takes time.
You'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Just all of the.
We're like, yeah, you'll figure it out. Okay. I'm 15 weeks pregnant after 3 losses. JC, how have you coped with all the anxieties that creep in now that you're finally pregnant? This pregnancy feels like it has so much pressure to just go well now that I've made it this far, but I'm still so worried something will go wrong. I know I can't live the next 25 weeks in complete fear every day anymore, though. Just know that is so normal, mm-hmm. I think. It's comforting to me to... I've heard that a lot from people who have experienced loss or gone through infertility. They're like, you know, I thought when I got pregnant, it would just be like the best day ever, which it is, obviously. But at the same time, you're like, have these all these new fears unlocked where you're like, oh my gosh, like I've gotten bad news before. I've had losses before. I've gone through this. And like, I don't want that to happen again. And it really creates a lot of anxiety. I've had a lot of anxiety during this entire pregnancy, which really surprised me. I thought, like I said, that it'd be like, I finally got what I wanted. Yay. And it would just be like smooth sailing. But like at every scan, at every before every appointment to check on things, I'm always just like, oh, I'm so like, I hope everything's okay, which hasn't been my normal. I've never been a very anxious person or like a high stress person like that. And so I'm letting you know that to say like, I do think it's normal. And something that I personally believe is that just because you're nervous about like going in for scans or whatever, what I was trying to remind myself constantly is that's not an indication that it's a gut feeling and something is wrong. That's just simply you loving your baby and you've gone through a lot and you really want everything to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why you care and that's why you're nervous. And in my situation, like I've been lucky that everything has been good news. Like since I've gotten pregnant, I was terrified. Like, you know, at the 7-week ultrasound, it's like, okay, we have to see if there's a heartbeat. Or there was a one before that. I was like, let's see if there's a gestational sac. And I was like, oh my gosh, is it going to be there? And then it was. And then, okay, like, let's see if there's a heartbeat. And I'm like, oh no. Like, and then he's like, yep, there's the heartbeat. And I'm like, okay, great. And then just everything, truly, I've been worried. And they're always like, everything's healthy. And so, I don't know. All that to say, clearly, my anxiety was not a gut feeling that something was terribly wrong. It was just simply anxiety and worry. And that's completely normal. And I think there's, unfortunately, no solution. I think, if anything, like stop Googling things and maybe stop like numbing out or trying to find ways to like, I don't know, and just kind of like feel it and maybe even journal. I did journal a few times, like I'm feeling worried about this. And kind of like by the end of writing it all out, I'm like, I feel a little bit better. I feel like it's probably all fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's really no answer though.
I know. I feel like you just have to get through it sometimes, but I mean, I don't have advice specifically for that, but in the birth class that I was taking, she was talking about, you know, maybe this could relate is why I'm bringing it up, is she was talking about how so many women have fear going into birth because of horror stories that they hear, or maybe they have had a bad experience or, you know, with previous births, whatever it is. And she was saying like something that helped her, which before I had my first baby, I was obviously terrified as well to give birth. Like I was not... I didn't really have any close friends who had done it. I'd only heard my mom and, you know, and then TikTok's horror stories, the ones that are just like, or social media, or people tend to tell you the most shocking thing about the birth, which you start to get very scared about it. And so you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so hard. This is going to be so scary. And all of these things could go wrong. Like now I know a million different things that could go wrong and horrific in my birth. And she was saying, you know, when people tell you things or when you see things, or even if you're telling yourself about a past, like your history, tell yourself like, I can hold space for that and I'm sorry for that, but that doesn't have to be my story this time, and just kind of like leave it open. Not like that won't be me.
Yeah.
Because then that feels like you're
putting
lying to yourself.
Yeah.
But if just like that doesn't have to be my story, I'm open to
something else.
Something
happening.
Good possibly happening. Which actually really helped me going into birth. I was like, you know what? That is good to not always think the worst case scenario is gonna happen to you.
Yeah. No, I think that definitely applies here. And that's something I tried to do too, is just kind of being open. Like, you know, there's a chance I could get bad news. There's also even a better chance that it's all going to be completely normal.
Yeah.
And I think that that's good to focus on that, even if, you know, at the end of the day, which this is the obvious, this is the most obvious take ever, but it's like what's going to happen will happen. And it's better to have not like you know, this is what I kept trying to say to myself at like my scans is like, what's happening in there is happening. And so I would rather be, as I'm sure anyone would, like less anxious day to day and like just enjoying the situation. And then I can cross that bridge when I come to it.
Yeah.
When it happens, which again is very much easier said than done. But I think that's a good point, honestly, is like getting off social media or stop being Googling a lot. Mm-hmm. I would find that those would be the worst days for me is when I'm like constantly scrolling, and I would see also like horrible, like I, you know, showed up for this scan and this happened and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and they always know exactly what scan you're about to go to.
Yes. Like, and then once you watch it, you get sent more videos like that. And I think that would really stress me out. And then I would like be Googling things like, what are the chances of this happening? And it's just like, let's regroup. Let's do a little meditation. Yeah. Let's journal out some thoughts. And then I went to the scan and everything was awesome. Yeah. So, yeah.
Abby, you guys know who that is. She was telling me about anxiety, how she's dealt with anxiety disorder her whole life. And she was saying something that's very helpful for her is scheduling time to worry about things. So it's like specifically for pregnancy, you know, appointments or things like that. You can schedule it for after the thing. It's like, okay, or 10 minutes before I go, I'm going to have the 10 minutes of worrying. But if it's like a week away, I'll worry about it then. Like I'll save my worrying for then. And she says that's very helpful. So that's another little tip. All right, ladies, listen up. Let's talk about Nuuly. It's the best thing ever, especially if you are a shopping, online shopping girly like myself, who likes to have new outfits for trips or events or just day to day. Nuuly is the best. It is where I get so many of my outfits for my trip. So recently we went to a cabin and I don't really have that much like cold weather clothes because we live in sunny SoCal. So I, if you've seen my Instagram post, I was wearing like a very fluffy, furry white coat. I got that from Nuuly. I also got like some maternity stuff from there. Like I got some maternity jeans. I got this jumpsuit from Nuuly and it saves my butt and it saves me money. So with Nuuly, it's a subscription clothing rental service. So for just $98 a month, you can get any six styles you want each month, which is amazing.
You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands, and they have really, really good brands. They have like Free People, Selkie dresses, For Love and Lemons, Anthropologie, A Goldie jeans. Like they have a ton of really, really good high quality stuff that would be way, way more expensive, obviously, if you were to actually purchase them yourself. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Fast and free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. So there's no laundry for you to worry about, which is also amazing. And there's also the option to buy what you love, sometimes up to 75% off. I've done this multiple times with things I've gotten from Nuuly. I've rented it, worn it, and been like, wait, I really, really love this and I actually want to keep it. And you can buy it for a discount, which is amazing. It's also just fun. You can kind of get creative and explore your style without making commitments. It's sustainable because it's kinder on the planet. Your orders are shipped in recycled and recyclable and reusable totes. No plastic packaging. And it's also flexible. So there are no late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you like lose a button or if you spill something on a dress that you ordered or whatever it is. So Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code WHATWESAID20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code WHATWESAID20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com. Nuuly with two U's with code WHATWESAID20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Having a rough skin day or week or month has always affected my confidence, honestly, more than most things do, because I just feel like when my skin is not cooperating, whether it's dry or I have acne or whatever the case may be, then, you know, my makeup and my skincare is not laying on as smooth and I just feel definitely less confident overall. And that is why we're excited about our sponsor, Apostrophe. So Apostrophe's goal is to help you feel confident in your own skin, whether you're dealing with breakouts, signs of aging, or acne scarring. Apostrophe will help you love the skin you're in. It's an online platform that connects you with an expert dermatology team to get customized acne treatment for your unique skin. Through Apostrophe, you can get access to oral and topical medications that use clinically proven ingredients to help clear acne. This is very convenient. I once went like in person to see someone about my skin, and I realized that you can get actually the same type of products on Apostrophe online, and it's just like a much more seamless process without having to actually go physically in somewhere, you know, make an appointment and all of that. It's just a lot easier, honestly. And especially if you're dealing with acne, this can just be super, super helpful.
So you just simply fill out an online consultation about your skin goals and medical history, then snap a few selfies, and a dermatology provider will create a customized treatment plan just for you. So for example, if you want to work on like dark spots or improve your skin texture, something like that, Apostrophe offers access to prescription treatments for all types of acne, from hormonal acne, facial acne, even back, chest, and butt acne. That's right. Treat breakouts from head to toe. We have a special deal for our audience. Get your first visit for only $5 at apostrophe.com/whatwesaid when you use our code whatwesaid. That's a savings of $15. This code is only available to our listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/whatwesaid, click get started, then use our code whatwesaid at sign up, and you'll get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Okay, my next one. How did you know when you were ready to have kids? I think I'm ready. And then there are little moments I think, dang, I won't get to do this certain thing anymore. Or I get a little torn thinking it won't just be me and my husband anymore. Is that normal? I think that's very normal. I think especially when you first start thinking about having kids, like you're like, okay, I'm ready. A logical mind is always going to start being like, well, let's consider the options. Like, what are the pros and cons? What am I going to miss out on? And I think that's like almost part of it sounds like you know you're ready. Well, you did say that. Like, or you said, I think I'm ready. But there are just, this is, again, even with like marriage and stuff, you're like, when you know, you know. But for me, at least, there have been times where it's like, I know I'm ready, not necessarily to get pregnant tomorrow, but it's like, I know I'm ready. Like, I will literally go from, I do not, like, people be like, when are you guys going to have kids? I'm like, I'm not thinking about it. I don't want to do that. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then literally I'll just wake up one day and I'm like,
have the desire.
Yeah, the desire is there. And I think it's time to start. That being said, I wasn't like, I know I'm ready. And everything is going to be, I think it's very normal to be like, oh, wait, it's not going to be just us anymore. Or like, these things are going to, it's just kind of like mourning the passage of time as well.
Yeah.
I thought that with my second as well. Like, people are like, when are you going to have your second? When are you going to have your second? I'm like, oh my gosh, don't even talk to me. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to have another kid. Like, not ready for that. And then one day I was like, it's time.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an intuition thing. Yeah, you start to know when you're ready. But I think it's also that being said, I also was like, oh, but then, you know, I'm going to have two kids and it'll be a lot crazier. And you just start thinking of my life won't be the same. And that's just dealing with change. So,
yeah, I think it's good to think about, obviously, having kids is a massive decision. And I don't think it's one that you should take lightly at all. Like, not that I'm not trying to scare anyone. I don't even know what it's like to have a kid, obviously. But I think, like, it really is such a huge decision that I think it is good to, if you feel the desire, to, like, think about it. To think about why you have the desire, where it's coming from. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I, like I said, I was on the Girls Camp podcast talking about infertility. It should be out by now, or I think it maybe comes out this week. But we talked a lot about just infertility and faith and all this stuff kind of combined. And I was saying, like, you know, when I couldn't get pregnant for a little while, I did start to have this like desperate feeling. But then when I really broke it down, I realized that the desperation I was feeling, it really actually didn't feel like my authentic feeling. Like, when I really broke it down and I was like, why do I feel so desperate to like get pregnant? The desperation stemmed from a lot of different things. One of them just being like, I felt panicky because it wasn't happening. And so by nature, you kind of just are like, oh, I need to try harder.
You need
like,
that reassurance.
I want it more. Yeah. So I realized like, okay, I'm panicking because I'm afraid it will never happen. So that's one reason why I'm feeling desperate. Two, I'm witnessing a lot of my best friends and my closest people in my life getting pregnant. Three, where I grew up, it was very common to get pregnant, literally have kids immediately upon like even getting married and having kids pretty young. And so all those things combined are making me feel like I need to have kids. And when, again, when I pulled back and when I stripped back, I'm like, I'm really not that desperate for it to happen like right now. I'm just letting all these things like this noise affect me in this way. And I'm not saying she's doing that at all. That's just my personal experience. But I think sometimes, again, if you're like, oh, I'm feeling the desire to have kids, to just like think about it more and be like, okay, so why am I having that desire? Well, I think it's, you know, a good time in my life and maybe, and then you might be like, I think I'm like, I want to try. Yeah. Like, that sounds exciting. I think it's completely normal for you to be like, oh, that's kind of going to be sad. It's not just going to be me and like my husband anymore. Like, that's totally normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't necessarily prohibit you from having kids right now. I just think it is good to like think about those decisions.
Yeah. And I feel, well, I mean, again, I can only speak for myself, but I feel like there is a moment, from what I'm gauging from the couple sentences you wrote, like there's a moment where the desire becomes more than the other things, where it's like
the fear.
Yeah, the fear or like the things where, you know, you're debating like, okay, are we in a financially good place to have kids? Are we, you know, is our relationship in a good place? Like, those are very important things to think about. And then if those are all checking off, and then what is holding you back is like smaller things, like you're kind of saying, there is a moment where your desire, you kind of like a gut feeling knows like, okay, this is me who's wanting it. And these little things are going to be sad, but I just have to kind of get past these sad things in order to like get what I actually desire. You know, if you really are wanting to have kids. And I think, you know,
I think so, too. Yeah. I think even like now, because again, like growing up, I always heard the phrase like, you'll never be ready for kids. Like, you just have to like do it. And like the older I've gotten, I'm like, I actually don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I think that I actually do feel ready now, even though that doesn't mean I know exactly what's coming and I'm going to be 100% prepared and I'm never going to have a hard moment. But it is that thing where it like, the desire,
ready to take it on.
Yes, I'm ready. And like the desire outweighs the fear of it for me. I have always been really fearful of motherhood. Which is weird because I have an amazing mom and like I, you know, whatever. But I've just had, again, I go into that in that other episode, which you guys can listen to because I really go into depth. But like more recently, when we started doing IVF and stuff, I felt this like very strong desire, which I actually had never realized I had never felt before. So it's like, my point is, I was always just like, oh, I'm so scared for how it's going to change like my life. I don't want to lose my independence. Like, I'm really passionate about this. I don't want that to go away. And then I kind of had this switch where I was like, I'm not scared of that anymore. Like, I know it will change, but I feel more ready for this change.
Yeah.
And it did. There was something in me that felt, I don't know, more aligned with it. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, I agree.
My husband and I want to move back to where he's from, where his family is and many friends, great community, etc. My parents did not take this well and felt very hurt and kept saying they feel rejected and so hurt by me and us and that we did not choose them. I didn't view it that way at all. Yes, this would be a 12-hour drive from them, one flight, but say that they will only see us and future kids 2 times a year. Oh, they're saying that, yeah. I think. I feel awful, but also it is our decision. Help.
Ugh, that's hard.
I don't like this.
I will say it is hard to make your parents sad. I feel that way. Like, I don't, you know, when my parents are sad about something like that, which is a very valid thing to be sad about now, especially that I have kids and I think about what if they moved across the country and they start having kids and, you know, I wouldn't be able to see them all the time. That would obviously make me sad. But that being said, it's not your responsibility. So it is sad. And I will validate that. Like, I know, sorry. You know, it's like when my mom called me, was like, so you're never coming to Christmas again, which was very dramatic. Stephanie, if you're listening, but I do understand the feeling of like, oh gosh, because it's kind of the same thing. It's like parents are humans too. They have to experience the moving on of the passage of time. Like, I remember thinking, why is my mom so sad that I'm going to college? Like, she's literally sobbing and I'm literally just moving out. Like, what is the big deal? I'm not, you know, never going to see her again. I'm literally like moving to Utah. I'll be back at Thanksgiving for a couple weeks, you know? And now I understand a little more because it's like a marker of a big life change where it's like when you're the one experiencing it, you're thinking of the exciting things in the future. And I'm not saying you have to change anything for your parents. That's what I'm saying. I'm just giving perspective a little bit where it's like, you know, now I can see, oh my gosh, when, you know, Case one day graduates and goes off to college, it's not that I'm never going to see him again. It's that he'll never be the same. He'll never live with me again. He'll never like, well, maybe, but even if he does, it's never the same. And I think it's more, you know, apparent when you are a parent. So that being said, I get why they're sad, but it's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to change your life for them. So you can be like, I know, I'm sorry. Like, it just, this is the way that life is going. This is our decision. And I will miss you guys. We still obviously love you and we'll make our best effort to see you, but yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah. I just feel like that's like a, it's really not your responsibility at all to constantly choose, like, for them to be like, you didn't choose us. Like, that's yeah. not your responsibility to constantly choose your parents. Like, I think that that's a massive burden to place on a child. Mm-hmm. To be yeah. like, you didn't, you're not exactly what I, you didn't do exactly what I wanted you to do. It's like,
you chose
that's
to
not
hurt
the
me.
Point of being a parent. Like, again, obviously, I agree. It's like, that is sad. And I can picture, even if my parents were like, we're going to move across the country and like, you know, we'll see you and your kids once a year, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of sad. Like,
yeah.
But I just feel like in general in life, like, you have got to make your own decisions, especially as a family and as a unit. And like, it's really not your responsibility. And you also can't please everyone because like your husband's family lives somewhere else. So are they like, they're probably sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think just that's life. And to validate you, it's not your yeah. burden to bear like that. And I think it's really unfair to place that burden on a kid to be like, you didn't choose us, like your yeah. life is not exactly how I want it to be. It's like, that's not my problem.
Exactly. It's one thing for them to be sad, and that's what I was saying, like, it's valid for them to be sad, but it's not valid to like guilt trip and be like, well, yeah, you didn't choose us, make you feel bad, make you feel like you're making the wrong decision. That's not,
no,
you know, sometimes you have to treat them like, when people start doing that, when they start feeling hurt and then they start almost like attacking you, you have to think of it like a, you know, I'm saying this because I have a toddler now, like a toddler tantrum. It's like, okay, I'm going to validate your feelings. I see where you're coming from. This is a big deal to you. But the things that you're doing aren't necessarily my responsibility. Well,
yeah,
especially with your parents. It's like, aren't my responsibility to be like, oh my gosh, I'm taking that personally. Like, I need to fix that, you know? Just let them have their moment. They'll get over it and move on.
Yeah. Definitely.
They'll be sad. They'll probably maybe guilt trip you a couple more times. That's what parents do, apparently. I've seen it done many times.
It's very rare that people that, like, I don't know many people where, like, their entire family, extended family, just, like, lives all right around each other. Yeah, like,
the same commune.
Literally all of my, like, my, between me and my brother and my parents, like, we live in three different states. Leif's family all lives in different states, mm-hmm. literally every family. So, like, I guess I'm just more used to, like, everything being spread out. But honestly, like, it was kind of even sad for that to start happening because we did all live in Arizona at one point.
Yeah.
Like, everyone just lived in the same spot and it was fun because it's like you see each other a lot. But I just think that's the way life goes. Like, yeah. I don't know.
My younger brother's girlfriend keeps coming to me seeking advice about their relationship. I love her and most of the time I'm on her side because, let's be honest, men can be trash. But I don't want to be in the middle of their conflict all the time. How can I tell her that I can't be the person she comes to? Oh, yeah, that's hard.
She said little brother?
Yeah, it's her little brother. I mean, just kind of how you said to us, like, listen, I want to be there for you, but I can't, because he's my brother, I'm in a weird position. Like, I can't be constantly knowing everything about your conflicts, and you might need to find a different friend to go to about it because of my position in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's really no other thing to say than, yeah. like, you have to kind of say it.
I know, and it is hard because how I am with all of my brothers, like, I instantly take their girlfriend's side or their wife's side, or I'm always like, yeah, he shouldn't have done that. Even if, like, maybe he was, like, you know, valid in doing it, I'm like, no, girl, he's so dumb for that. Like, just because I'm the sister. But yeah. if maybe that's why she keeps coming to you, because she knows
right.
you're just always on her side.
You're validating her feelings mm-hmm. a lot. Yeah, maybe just start switching it up, start validating, being like,
you sound crazy.
Yeah, I think there's a tactful way to put it, to just be like, you know, not be like, hey, you need to stop coming to me with this stuff. But mm-hmm. just like maybe in one of the conversations, you know, that way it's not as like premeditated. Like I've been thinking and I don't mm-hmm, want to be involved in this anymore. But just like maybe naturally within a conversation where she comes to you.
Yeah.
Saying something like that within the conversation, being like, but honestly, this kind of like puts me in a hard spot. Like, I know I've talked to you before about, you know, like your little fights and stuff. But like, it does put me in a hard spot just because that is my brother. But, you know, and then maybe if she comes to you a second time, you kind of say the same thing. She's going to get the hint.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. My husband does not want to wear a wedding ring.
Awesome.
He says he hates the feeling of things on his fingers. He tried to wear the ring on a necklace for 2 years. Just recently he said that the necklace is uncomfortable for him to wear too, so he stopped wearing it. I've told him so many times that this is important to me that he makes a thoughtful effort to wear a ring, but he still says he can't. Should I be upset? Is it even a big deal if he doesn't wear a ring?
Okay.
Personally, I couldn't care less, but like, but I think it's weird that he's making such a point that he can't do it.
Like, if it's been a long time thing, he's tried multiple avenues and he's like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, I don't want to. I would start being like, okay, I've asked you this many times. I've told you how important it is to me. There's two options here. He's either, and we need more context, he's either a texture, overly sensitive guy.
Yeah, like sensory, like, yeah, can't deal.
But if this man has ever worn any kind of alpaca sweater and worn it for a full day, this man can wear a wedding ring. Like, it's really not that big of a deal to wear a wedding ring if it means so much to your wife. And a necklace. How is that bothering you? Like, what, you can't wear a necklace with a ring on it? And again, if she didn't care, she obviously cares because she's writing into a podcast about it.
Right.
If you were like, I don't care, like if you wear it or not, whatever. But if you really care and it's been going on and he's like so defiant about it, not just like, oh, sorry, I forget. And it's like, I take it off and I misplace it all the time.
Yeah.
But if it's starting to be like a thing where he's like anti about it.
Yeah, it's weird how like, much how much he's pushing back on it. Like, I guess if that was the case, I'd start to be like, okay, this is like getting weird now.
Mm-hmm.
I just like personally don't like, to me, that is not a big deal. Like, I don't care, maybe because I don't wear my wedding ring literally ever.
Yeah.
But I just like, that's just a non-issue to me. It's like, we know we're married. Like, why do I need to wear a ring every day? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't care personally. Like, if Leif was not wearing his ring, I wouldn't be like, where's your wedding ring? Like, I would just literally not care at all.
Yeah. But then if you asked him, like,
and then if he's being weird, I'd be like, okay, now you need to wear it.
Yeah.
No, I validate that for sure.
I don't know what the solution is. Maybe tell him he should get a tattoo on his finger.
Yeah. Tattoo your initial on his ring finger.
And see what he says.
Or even just like what about a silicone? You know how people wear like silicone rings to like the gym or something? Like, would that be better?
Yeah. What's something comfy?
Yeah, comfy.
Yeah. You know, at that point, it's just testing him to see if he's going to do it or not.
Yeah.
Because if you've already tried the ring, the necklace, and he's just really not.
Does he have? Yeah, it's a really good question if he has issues wearing other things. Because that's really telling. It's like,
because there are some people who it's like, I cannot wear a ring. I cannot wear jewelry. I totally get that. Like,
to be honest, I'm kind of like that. Yeah. So I actually completely understand that. Like, there are certain days where I have like really weird, like, texture issues, and that's why I wear a lot of times, like, honestly, like very comfy clothes, because I can't deal sometimes with tightness, or even I don't wear rings very often, and I have been not wearing like necklaces very often actually, because sometimes it bothers me. So I get the concept of that,
for sure.
But again, if he's not like that in any other area and then it's just the wedding ring, that's bizarre.
He's wearing turtlenecks, if he's wearing certain things, if he's wearing jeans in the house, like, he can wear a ring.
He can wear a ring. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine.
Okay, this is my last one. First off, love the pod and have been an avid listener since 2019. Doesn't that feel like a year ago?
Yes.
5 years ago.
No, that's too weird to me.
So here it goes. I want another baby so badly, but my little boy is only 11 months and it really scares me thinking about starting over. Those newborn nights were rough. How do you think you know when you're ready, and what age gap appeals to y'all? Girl, you're braver than the Marines. I literally, like, that's what I was saying earlier. Up until, well, literally the month before I got pregnant with this one, I was like, no, not even considering getting pregnant. Mostly I was like, I don't want to be pregnant again. Like, you know, all of that. Everyone has their different things where it's like, you think back on it, it gives you a shiver where you're like, oh, I don't want to do that again. Yeah. I remember immediately after giving birth, I was like, the fact that I have to do this again if I want more kids is insane to me. And then your brain literally
shuts it out,
just curses you. It puts a curse upon you to forget everything. And doesn't sound like you're there yet. So maybe wait, but also, who am I to say? You know, maybe you really, really want it and the only thing that's scaring you is the sleep or something. But again, the kind of the same thing as the earlier advice. For me, there became a point where my desire and like just my gut feeling of like, okay, it's time, was way stronger than my fears and my resistance to it. Whereas like one day it just flipped and it was like, okay, yeah, I'm still a little nervous about certain things. Especially this, the second time around, you know a little too much. So you're like not as blissfully
unaware.
Yeah. Of those things where it's like, oh, we'll see what happens. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, but again, who knows? Maybe this next newborn phase for you, if you had a rough one.
It doesn't have to be
your story. Yeah, it doesn't have to be your story. It can be different.
True.
Could be worse. Could be better. You never know. So, I mean, if you're asking just my opinion on age gaps, there are like scientific things that, you know, I've seen people say it takes like a certain amount of time for your body to, like 18 plus months for your body to like get back to where it's like healed completely. Some people say more. Some say that's like the ideal for your body. But again, almost it's like, I mean, I just feel like our women's bodies are so amazing and they can do incredible things. And then they just like keep living life. Like you create life, you push it out. The reason I'm thinking this is because I was listening to one of my birth courses and I started reading Ina May's Guide to Childbirth. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's like a really popular birth book, but she tells a bunch of like birthing stories and she was talking about how pushing a baby out of you is like the biggest thing that will ever come out of any hole in anyone's body at any time ever, and just how like incredible it is. And so that's a tangent that I didn't necessarily mean. I'm like, we are incredible. But that being said, you know, 11 months isn't 3 months. If you want to get them done quick, go for it. But for me, I wanted to wait like at least 18 months to get started. I didn't, you know it was going to happen so quickly. I would be like, okay, 2 years, maybe 3 years. I've heard the 4-year age gap is amazing. So
there's no right age gap. Yeah. Like that's simply not. It's just like asking like, when's the best time for me to get married or when's the best time for me to get pregnant? Yeah. It's like, that's not something that anyone can tell you. Yeah, it's like,
this is my opinion, but you have your own life.
Yeah. And I have no idea about age gap, like what I want. People were asking me that on my Q&A, like, when do you want your next? I'm like,
let me get through this one.
Let me get through this because I have no idea. Like, I don't know if I'll be just like, let's pound it out. Like, or if I'll just be like, I want to wait years and years. Like, I actually have no idea. And I feel like it's good to not like rush that process. Again, like not saying she's rushing it, but I think like it's good to just think on it. Like you don't have to make a decision right now, especially if you're 11 months postpartum. Like you can do whatever you want. But
you know what else is, now that you just said that, is I heard from so many people when Case turned 11 months, they're so cute at 11 months. They're like really getting into their personality and they're not really a newborn baby anymore. It's very normal to feel this like
desire
to have another little baby because you're like, they're so cute. I want another one. Like I want a million of these. It's like that TikTok sound. Like, can I have more of these blonde bitches? Like you start to feel that way. And I remember people telling me and be like, I see it because they're starting to kind of have their independence and they're so cute. But that being said, it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier. Really think about why you want it. Is it just because of that? Because they're, you know, no longer a little baby. So you're kind of missing that newborn phase. Or are you really considering like, okay, I want my kids close together. I feel like I'm ready for it. I feel like I'm healed. I feel like I'm, you know, that's good timing, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and also you never know how long it takes. So
yeah,
to get pregnant, maybe you get pregnant super easy so you can plan it. But, you know. Sometimes you can't. So,
yeah.
Good luck.
I know. It's always such a crapshoot. I've seen a lot of people were asking me, like, oh, so are you going to do IVF again? And I'm like, yeah, like that's the plan just because we've never been able to get pregnant on our own. So, like, on one hand, it's like, oh, cool. We can kind of plan it to a degree, but also not really because it's never guaranteed to work. But also, then I had a bunch of people messaging me. They're like, I did IVF, like couldn't get pregnant for years and then just like got pregnant naturally after my first. Like I really have heard that story a lot. I don't plan on it at all. I have zero expectations of that happening. But I was like thinking about that. I was like, that would be absolutely
shocking.
So shocking to me specifically if like, you know, I was just like not being careful because it's like, well, we can't get pregnant. So it doesn't matter. And then like literally 6 months postpartum, I'm like pregnant again or something. Like just something crazy.
Oh my gosh,
I'm like,
crazy.
I cannot even imagine. That'd be insane. It would just shock me more than anything. But yeah, you really can't plan it. Mm-hmm. Some people can. Some people literally like they just plan the month they want to get pregnant and they can. Obviously, I cannot relate to that at all. But I feel like it is hard to be like, I want this exact age gap. Yeah. Like, because it's just
yeah,
up to fate, you gotta
have,
I guess,
maybe approximate and then go for it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Do the best you can. I was going to leave on this thought, speaking of childbirth, because I've been taking this class. So I just wanted to share with all of the women here. It is literally so insane how much cool. Like, I was thinking about how men will never live up. Like, they're
never.
The things that a woman's body can do are so incredible. And not even just childbirth, like your monthly cycles, how your body changes and like goes through so much, but how, I don't want this to sound mean or condescending, but when you're, you know, if you give birth to a child and you've created this life, literally like a portal from some world to this world, and now they're just like their own person, that is literally cooler than what Jeff Bezos did building Amazon. Like,
of course.
It's so insane that it's just like, but it's so casual. And, you know, when people do it every day, like it's happening every day, multiple times a day. When other women do it around you, it is a big deal to you. But at the same time, you're just like, oh yeah, congrats, you had a baby. It's yeah, like, oh my gosh. Like,
so insane.
So insane. So remarkable. So like marvelous what our bodies can do. And the fact that we're ever mean about our bodies. Like, I was listening to this. I'm like, the fact that I ever judge my body for like something little that I don't think is how it should look is absolutely ludicrous. Insane.
Yeah.
It's it so really stupid. Is. Like, what this body is capable of, and even if you haven't had birth, what it is literally capable of yeah, doing, or like gotten pregnant or anything like that, like your body is capable of amazing things, even just like healing yourself yeah, from like being sick or, you know, different things. The fact that we like nitpick it is so toxic of us. We're like it toxic, is. Toxic, I don't know, like almond moms to our own bodies.
That do so much for yeah, us. I know, it actually is crazy. I've just been thinking about how insane like modern technology is, which is, this is, that's different. But like, I just can't believe the things that our world has come up with that we can do from IVF, obviously, you know, doing that whole thing. It's just like, I cannot believe that my baby was a frozen embryo.
Yeah.
They put it in me and then it grew into what it is now. And like, I've literally
like
seen,
one day they'll be cracking jokes. It's like,
no, it's what? So, I don't know if I've already talked about this on the podcast, but we were watching a Suns game and I'm like, all of those people started out as embryos. Like all yeah, of those basketball players started out as an embryo and they turned into that. Like yeah, it's just so absolutely insane. And even just like on the scans that they can see like the heart and the brain and the like of your baby, I'm just like, this is so insane to me.
How did you do that? And
how
who thought
did
of that?
You do this?
And that will be our next episode.
Things we don't understand, part
medical edition.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's really crazy. Do you have any other advice ones you're reading?
No,
you're good.
That was it.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening or watching. Again, you can watch on YouTube. It's just What We Said Podcast. And you can follow our Instagram. It's also at What We Said Podcast. People were asking if we're on my Q&A. They're like, would you ever go on another tour? And I was like, going to answer the question. So I went to our tour album to like look. And I was like, that was so
fun.
We
need to do that immediately.
That was so fun.
I know.
I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, eventually they're like, I know, not anytime soon. And I was like, yeah, we'll see when, but like, we've got to.
Maybe we can just bring the whole fam next time.
Yeah, we'll see.
But we'll sleep in a hotel room together.
Yeah, of course.
We'll make the boys and then the kids sleep in a different room.
Yes, I just sent Chelsea
this. We still have our late night Taco Bell.
I know. I just sent Chelsea this video. It was like girls' night and it was like these girls making like, they had these strawberries and they were like pouring melted chocolate on and then it like flashed to like, you know, or realistic, whatever. It was like these two girls in bed with like Taco Bell all over them and like talkies. And I was like,
pizza.
And, yeah. And I sent it to Chelsea. She's like, oh my gosh, that was us on tour. And it really was. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. We'd do our shows, just veg out at night. And it was the best vibe.
We would be so hungry when we get back.
Starving.
It'd be so late.
So whatever was open, we would order. And it was usually just like
that
junk.
Feeling is making me, wow. Like, getting all that makeup off, taking the eyelash extensions off, getting out of those tight outfits, getting into pajamas, having, you know, a face mask on or something, and then just eating junk food, ordering room service.
Nothing like it. So anyway, That wasn't me announcing we're going on tour, but eventually, yes, you guys, we'll do more live shows. It was so, so fun. It was literally the best memories ever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, make sure you are subscribed on the Apple Podcast app or Spotify or YouTube, wherever you want to watch or listen. And we love you guys so much. And
that's what we said.
Bye.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.